This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having gathered us here today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause the mercy of His to descend upon us and to surround us with the malaika and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, then we all know that he was born without a father. His father Abdullah had passed away before he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued his life with his mother. And at the tender age of 5 years old, his mother passed away as well. Now from this already we can see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began his life with difficulty. He began without a father. And then we find that his mother, who was with him for 5 years only, passes away. So at the age of five, he loses this beautiful mother of his. Imagine the feeling of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a child, knowing that you have no father. And then you lose your mother as well. That person who was your connection in this dunya is gone. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues with his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And 3 years later, his grandfather passes away as well. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through this difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, yet he is only 8 years old. And he continues. And then at the age of 25, he marries Khadijah bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And when he marries her, he continues and she becomes a person who is very close to him. So Khadijah radiallahu anha, she lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She supported him, she helped him, she was with him, she loved him to a very great extent. And then Khadijah radiallahu anha, she is with him when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he goes out and he is in the cave of Hira. And whilst he is there one of the days, he receives risalah all of a sudden. He receives a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. And this angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to him and tells him, read. Read. And after all of this difficulty, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being told to do something that he is not able to do. We all know that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam ma kana qari'an. He was not a reciter. So he tells the angels, ma ana biqari. I am not a reciter. So the angels grabs hold of him and hugs him and says, iqra, read. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam repeats, ma ana biqari, I am not a reciter. And then once again the angel grabs hold of him and tells him, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your Rabb who created. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this angel leaves after that. And this was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he leaves after that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is terrified. He doesn't understand fully and exactly what happened yet. So he runs down from the mount and he goes to his wife Khadija, who was a pillar of support, a pillar of strength for him. And he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, because he is worried. He says, Inni khashitu ala nafsi. He says, I was worried that I would die. So Khadija radiallahu anha, and here we see what kind of a pillar of support she was for him. She says to him, Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. No, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will never let you down. He will never let you down. Innaka latasilu ar-rahim. Indeed, you are the one who ensures that the family ties are joined. You go out of your way to make sure that you join family ties. And she continues to rattle off various qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed, telling him that definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let you down. So this was hardship after hardship after hardship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then comes out to the people and he tells them that you need to come and accept Islam. And when he stands up on the Mount of Safa and tells them that if I were to warn you of an army that was coming to fight you or attack you, would you believe me? And the answer was, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا. We never ever found you to be a liar, so why should we belie you today? You are As-Sadiqul Amin. He was known as As-Sadiqul Amin to them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that which was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am here to warn you of a severe and painful punishment if you are not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And Abu Lahab stands up and looks at him and says, Tabban laka ya Muhammad. Destruction be to you, O Muhammad. أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. Is this why you got the whole of Mecca here today? You got them here to tell us that you are to warn us of a punishment that is to come? تَبَّنْ لَكَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses regarding Abu Lahab. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبَّ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ وَامْرَأَتُهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these words regarding Abu Lahab. My point here today is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through this hardship of losing a father, meaning he had no father when he was born. He lost a mother. He lost his grandfather. And then here Abu Lahab is telling him, Tabban laka, destruction be to you. He did not ask for the risalah to come down upon him. He did not ask for wahi to be revealed to him. Yet here he was standing up for the truth, standing up for Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to convey that message that he was told to convey. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, and his uncle looked after him. His uncle defended him. His uncle protected him. And then there came a year where his uncle also passed away. This uncle that had defended him to the extent that later on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that so long as my uncle was alive, Quraysh did not harm me to a great degree. Yes, they spoke out against me, but they never tried to harm him to the extent where it became physical. And then Abu Lahab would follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around the streets of Mecca, and he would say, Sabi'un kathab. This man is a person who has left the religion of his forefathers and he is a liar. And he would pelt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with pebbles. And then Khadijah bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha passed away as well. And when Abu Talib was passing away, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to where he was. And Abu Jahl was there. And they were telling Abu Talib that don't leave your religion. Make sure that you don't enter into Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes there and he says, قُلْ كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say a word only, لا إله إلا الله, that I will be able to use to fight your case on the day of Qiyamah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be able to argue your case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just say that one word only. He's pleading with his uncle. And his uncle passes away upon that kufr. He passes away upon that shirk and disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after all of this hardship, after all of this difficulty, it doesn't make him a bitter human being. Rather, he says, that سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَ عَنْهُ. He says that I will seek forgiveness for you so long as I am not prevented from doing so. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He loved his uncle so much that he says, I will continue to make istighfar for you so long as I am not prevented from doing so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. It is not for the Nabi and those who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek istighfar for those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. Even though they may be people that are close to them. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. After it becomes clear to them that these are the people of the fire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped that istighfar. But why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stop? Was it because the rahmah was no longer in his heart? No. It was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded him to do something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him that you cannot seek istighfar for your uncle any longer. So he stopped. But if the matter was left in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have continued to make istighfar for his uncle. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarks on a journey towards Ta'if. His people had rejected him. His people did not accept his message. His people did not want to listen to him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought, perhaps I will find some luck. I will find some joy. Obviously in Islam, we don't believe in luck as in where it has nothing to do with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what I mean is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to find some joy with other people since he had been rejected here in Mecca. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarks on a journey by foot towards Ta'if. And as he is walking, this is something that is amazing. The journey to Ta'if is actually not an easy journey to undertake by foot because it is into the mountains. And remember that this is in the Arabian Peninsula, in the terrain that is harsh and difficult. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continues to walk and he gets to Ta'if. And after this long and arduous journey, this difficult journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the people of Ta'if, the leaders of Ta'if. And he says to them that, enter into Islam. I am coming to you with a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you know what their response was? The first one, there were three of them, the leaders of Ta'if that he was addressing. And the first one of them says to him that, أَلَمْ يَجِدِ اللَّهُ غَيْرَكَ لِيُرْسِلَهُ. Is it not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not find anyone besides you to send him? So he sent you? And the second one says to him that if what you are saying is true, then I will defecate on the Kaaba. I will defecate on the Kaaba. These people held the Kaaba sacred. They knew the value of the Kaaba. They loved the Kaaba. They held the sanctity of the Kaaba. But he is saying that I will defecate on the Kaaba. Why? Because he was so sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one says, إِن كُنْتَ كَاذِبًا فَأَنْتَ أَعْظَمُ إِن كُنْتَ صَادِقًا فَأَنْتَ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ أَنْ أَرُدَّ عَلَيْكَ. If you are truthful, then you are greater than me for me to answer you. وَإِن كُنْتَ كَاذِبًا. And if you are a liar, فَأَنْتَ أَحْقَرُ مِنْ أَنْ أَرُدَّ عَلَيْكَ. So you are below me, I don't need to answer you. Basically he was saying, I don't want to answer you. This was the answer of the people of Ta'if. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that, okay, you have not accepted my message. At least don't make it public. Don't go and tell Quraysh what has happened. Because if you tell them, then they will harm me more than they have already harmed me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues and he begins to walk, and these people set the urchins of the city on him and they begin to pelt him and he begins to bleed from his shins. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him with this risala, yet he continued to persevere, and you find that he was bleeding from his legs until his shoes are clogged with blood, and he leaves the city of Ta'if. He leaves this city of Ta'if and he comes outside and he sits down. Now let us take a moment to pause and to think and to reflect upon this situation. Here he is, after all of the difficulty that he has gone through, and he has the opportunity to raise his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is mentioned in the hadith that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down and told him that this is the angel of the mountains. He has control of the mountains. Command him to do whatever you want to do with these people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting there. And the dua that comes out from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is amazing. In fact, he tells that angel, and before he tells him, the angel says to him that, you see these two mountains that are here, I can actually cause them to become one and these people will be destroyed. It will be as though they never existed. They are gone completely. He gives him that option. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that perhaps if their forefathers and their fathers have not accepted Islam, then they will accept Islam. The children to come of these people will accept Islam. And he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide these people. This was the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had placed in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua? Because the rahmah that was there was not his. It was not placed by him. It was placed by Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is because of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you became merciful towards them. You had that mercy for them. It is because of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you were soft and lenient with them. So this rahmah came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused it to be such a situation that he actually made dua for them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues. And you find that his relationship with every single human being, in fact with all of creation, was a relationship of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we did not send you to mankind except as a mercy for the worlds. We did not send you to them except as a mercy to the worlds, the entire worlds, including the animals and everything that was there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his relationship with his servants, had a beautiful relationship. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that khadamtu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 10 sinin. I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. Fama qala li uffin. He never ever said to me, uff. وَمَا قَالَ لِي لِمَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا أَوْ لِمَ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ هَذَا. For 10 years Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told him, why did you do this and why did you not do that? Rabi'ah ibn Ka'b al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu, another sahabi who served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his water for wudu. His water for wudu, that was his job. He would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his water for wudu and some other requirements that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had. And he says that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, sell, ask whatever you want. And this was a young man who spent his time in amongst Ashab al-Suffa. And Ashab al-Suffa were known to be poor people. They would rely on the sadaqat that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that would be distributed amongst them. Here he is being told, ask for whatever you want. And who is the person that he's asking, that is asking him that question? This is the being that has the most powerful relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the strongest link with the most powerful being to ever exist. He's asking a young boy in his prime, ask for whatever you want. And he was a youth at the time. He could have asked for a beautiful spouse to marry. He could have asked for something like gold or silver. He could have asked for the best mode of transport that was available. But what is it that comes out of his mouth? He says, "As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah." I ask you, O Messenger, for your companionship in Jannah. He wanted to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. This was a young man who had served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was his servant, yet he wanted his companionship in Jannah. What kind of treatment did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give him for him to ask for the companionship of his in Jannah? Today, we've got to ask ourselves, what is our relationship with our servants? How have we treated them? If we were to ask them that, ask for whatever you want, would they ask for our companionship in Jannah? And if the answer is no, then there is something wrong. We're treating them in a manner that is not similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his relationship with his servants. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. So it was the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that caused him to be merciful to them. And when it comes to the ibadah and the worship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, advised his people with, we would think that he was harsh with them, or he was severe with them, and he told them, you've got to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the night, you've got to fast throughout the day. But we find that Zainab radiyallahu anha would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that she had a rope that was dangling in the masjid that she had tied to the roof of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason for this was because she would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much during the night that she would become tired and want to hold onto that rope so that she does not fall down in sleep. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters into the masjid and he sees this rope hanging. So he asks the companions, why is this rope hanging here? And they tell him the reason, that Zainab comes in here and she performs salah at night until she is tired such that she holds on to this rope. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, cut it off. Cut it off, get rid of it. And then he utters a statement. He says, لا تكلفوا من الأعمال ما لا تطيقون. Don't become so harsh with yourself that you perform actions that you cannot do. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلُّ حَتَّى تَمَلُّ. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not become tired of your worship until you become tired of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful to the companions even when they were harsh with themselves. So he was merciful to them more than they were merciful to their own beings. And this was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to the ahkam and the regulations that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to them. Then there was a man who in the month of Ramadan, he was intimate with his wife. So he came with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was during the day, he was intimate with his wife, so he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining that I've done something wrong here. And I've been intimate with my wife in the day of Ramadan. So you would imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to him, why did you do that? What, didn't you think that this is something that is not allowed? How can you do that? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, and he gives him the opportunity. He says, look, Why don't you go and free a slave? So the man says, I have no slave to free. So he says, okay, you can't do that. No problem. I'll give you another option. You go and you fast for 60 days. So the man responds and he says, isn't it fasting that brought me here in the first place? So how am I going to fast for 60 days without doing the same? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, no problem, I give you a third option. Go and feed 60 people and you are free of what you have done. And he says, I can't do that either. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, sit here for some time. And he sits down. And a man comes and he gives Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some dates. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at this man and says, take these dates and go and give them out in sadaqah. Go and give them out in sadaqah. You said you don't have anything to give, so give these dates out in sadaqah. So Rasulullah sallallahu, so this man, he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, do you see the two edges of the city of Medina? Well, at the time it was not much of a city, but he says, do you see the two edges of Medina? There is nobody between these two edges that is more poor than me. There is nobody that is between the two edges of the city that is more poor than me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not tell him that you have done something wrong here and you want us to give you something as well? You want us to give you these dates as well? Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that which his mercy caused him to say. He says, take it and give it to your family. Imagine, this was the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we did not send you except as a rahmah for the worlds. Now, when it comes to the children, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful with them as well. There came a day where his son Ibrahim was in the throes and in the pangs of death. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called that your son is dying. Your son is dying. Come and see. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and he lifts him up and he holds him and looks at him and his eye begins to tear. So Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu, he looks at him and says, Atabki, awalam tanha anil buka? Are you crying? Didn't you stop us from crying? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to him, ma nahaytu anhu. He says, innaha la rahmah. He says, this is a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has placed in my heart. And then he says that, ma nahaytu anhu. I did not stop and prevent you from doing this. You can cry. If you don't cry, you actually have no rahmah in your heart. Here your son is dying. You are telling me that, why are you crying? That is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says that, مَا نَهَيْتُ عَنْهُ وَلَكِنْ نَهَيْتُ عَنْ صَوْتَيْنِ أَحْمَقَيْنِ فَاجِرَيْنِ. I did not stop you from doing this, but I have stopped from two foolish and evil voices that are uttered at the time of death. شَقِّ جُيُوبٍ وَخَمْشِ وُجُوهٍ. He says that it is the tearing of the clothes and the scratching of the face that I have stopped you from doing. Yes, that is what I stopped you from doing. So this was the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this young child of his. Al-Aqra ibn Habis al-Tamimi radiyallahu anhu was a sahabi who was a Bedouin. He was from the Badiyah. He was from the desert and he lived in the desert. So he had a harsh nature. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing one of his grandsons. It was either Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn. So he sees him kissing this grandson and he says to him, إِنَّ لِعَشَرَةً مِنَ الْوَلَدِ مَا قَبَّلْتُ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. I have 10 sons, I have never kissed one of them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, أَوَأَمْلِكُ أَن نَزَعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ الرَّحْمَةِ. He says that, do I hold anything away from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he pulled out and snatched out the rahmah from your heart? I don't hold any of that. And by this we understand that even the rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the heart of a person can be snatched away from him. So the rahmah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that rahmah can be taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try to be merciful with everyone. And we find that not only with the servants and the children was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam merciful, but there is a risalah and there is a message for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from none other than the blessed lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, innama mathali wa mathalukum kamathali rajulin istawqada nara. He says that my example and your example, meaning the example of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is like that of a man who has kindled a fire. فَجَعَلَتِ الدَّوَابُ وَالْفَرَاشُ يَقَعْنَ فِيهِ. So the animals and the moths that are there, they begin to fall into that fire. فَأَنَا أَخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ. So I am holding onto your parts. وَأَنْتُمْ تَقَحَّمُونَ فِيهِ. And you insist on falling into that fire. Do you know what this example is of? It is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with every single one of us. The fire of Jahannam is there. It is raging. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it as a fire. But in a hadith, he mentions that حُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. The fire has been surrounded with desires. So there is the desire of zina. There is the desire of drinking alcohol. There is the desire of eating riba. And we as human beings look at this and we naturally desire to do these things. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing there and he sees that this is a fire. We want to come close to it. We want to engage in that fahisha, in that zina. He's holding on to us. How does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hold on to us? Someone may ask, he passed on. He is gone. He left us more than 1400 years ago. What are you saying? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us with commands to do good. And he left us with prohibitions from doing bad. So if we engage in that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to do, we are actually pulling ourselves away from the fire. This is the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is holding on to us, and we insist on going into that fire. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, really and truly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. He was the most merciful to all of the worlds. And even on the day of Qiyamah, when the rest of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam will not be able to give shafa'ah for their ummah, or they will not be able to give shafa'ah for the people, they will come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and ask him for shafa'ah, and he will give shafa'ah for them. He will give shafa'ah for us. Shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'iri min ummati. My shafa'ah is for the people who have committed grievous sins from my ummah. This is the rahmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the lesson that we can learn from today's talk. And perhaps I hope that we have benefited in some way, and we can go out there and be merciful with the people in the same way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful with all of creation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice upon what has been said. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.